Through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Morena.
Tēnā
kōrua.
Yes.
Rachel and Tess.
It's nice to have you back up here.
Yeah, I've been away, so it's about that.
So
one time, I slipped through my alarm. Another time, I was in Raglan talking to people about their awesome sustainability projects.
That's pretty good. You can have a pass for the Raglan one.
So I feel like they even out.
I realised the way that I was like, it's nice to have you back up. It sounded like I was telling you off.
But not at all. No.
It wasn't meant to be. It genuinely is nice to have you
I
in.
Too that wasn't how I read it. I too have slipped through my alarm before, Tim.
Breakfast radio is hard.
It's hard.
Once in a different world.
My deadline's 9 a.m. You guys got to be here at like 6:30.
Once in a different world, I slept through till midday through my alarm.
Wow. Yes.
Not on BFM breakfast.
Oh, okay. Well,
can I take this opportunity to say yes, queen?
Yes, you can.
Cool.
Hey, a lot of media's happened. What are we talking about?
It sure has. Well, I feel like this is probably the most significant media story that's going to happen for the whole year. So despite the fact that it happened 10 days ago, I'm going to just shed a bit of light back on it.
Let's do it.
And this was the apology that Stuff has made at the start of this. It was actually technically at the end of November. I think it was November 30th. An apology basically to the entire country for how they have covered Māori people and issues over the years of being a media conglomerate and all the individual media organisations and newspapers that comprise the company. So this was a huge, widespread and deep apology for historically racist reporting. This has been led by the editor of Stuff's Pō Tae Aki, which is Our Truth, the editor Carmen Parahi, who is a real amazing force for Māori issues in journalism. She's been working a long time. She used to be, I think, the producer of Native Affairs.
Oh,
she's
true,
had
okay.
A fantastic, storied career. So she basically led this report, and it turns out Stuff have been real racist for a real long time. And we say Stuff, but Stuff is now like a conglomerate of all of these newspapers that used to be independent that have amalgamated over the years because of the media environment. So this is basically saying, hey, New Zealand media has been historically super duper racist, and still that permeates into today.
You know, I feel like in some ways we didn't need a report to tell us that. So what is the significance of this report?
The significance is that if you want to take a meta kind of zoom out of it, you can't fix a problem until you diagnose it, right? So they did a proper widespread analysis of reporting. The interesting thing for me has been the scope of the analysis.
Yeah.
For example, they took as an example of their own reporting, Taranaki Daily Times, which started in 1852 as the Taranaki Herald. They were taking stock for their self-confessed perpetuation of government propaganda relating to Parihaka.
That's really interesting. Wow.
So they've gone like right back into the record, and Parihaka is basically one of the greatest atrocities that Pākehā have committed against Māori in New Zealand, and it's just been so mistold, that story of these incredible Māori peaceful protesters.
Some cases just not told at all erased.
Totally.
So was that going back to before they owned the Taranaki Herald?
Yeah, I mean, Stuff didn't exist in any way, shape or form. So
they were actually taking ownership over stuff that they before they were Stuff.
Totally. Yeah. This is the history and I guess the whakapapa of these individual organisations that now make up Stuff, which I think is really important. But they were also, of course, doing analysis of current issues that are going on. They were looking at reporting of child abuse, the differentiation between Pākehā and Māori cases of that, how that was reported, treaty settlements, even road death tolls. Basically just had this inescapable conclusion that their reporting has been super racist over the years, and that's caused incredible damage to the country, of course, to Māori. And that has been caused in part by a locking out of Māori voices from newsrooms around the country. So Stuff under the control and stewardship now of the CEO, Sinead Bocha, who bought the organisation for a dollar earlier this year, So it's now independently owned by her, have committed to basically a journey of redressing these injustices. So I was looking for sort of concrete stuff that they're doing, and I think that at this early stage they've kind of shied away from saying exactly what those commitments are, because they acknowledge that this is going to be really a widespread journey of change and inclusion.
Someone's texted in about an anti-Māori racist letter to the editor that was published in one of the stuff papers this week. You know, it's not something that's fixed by them publishing this these findings. So as you say, it's going to be like an ongoing thing.
This is absolutely, I think, the very start of a long journey. And it's a really, it was an incredibly powerful thing to see all of the country's newspapers' front pages taken over by this and Stuff's online front page taken over by that really powerful graphic that was done.
And I guess in some ways as well, this is something that allows people to hold Stuff to account as well. They have now set out their own, you know, yardstick. Yardsticks already existed and will continue to exist beyond their own parameters, but now they have said, you know, yep, okay, we're recognising this and we're acknowledging this. And that gives people something to hold them accountable back to, which is significant.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the important bit of going, okay, now what changes?
Yeah.
And it seems like the direction they're taking is they're going to be making some decisions which will lead to more inclusion of Māori voices inside of newsrooms, so that we can actually get proper reporting on the truth of these Māori issues and what's happening with Māori in New Zealand.
You'd bloody hope so.
You'd bloody hope so, wouldn't you? About frickin' time. But this is sort of, it's hard to not feel like a bit of a floodgate has been opened here, because there was this incredible maiden speech by Māori co-leader Debbie Ngāriwa-Packer last week, I think it was. Last week, who described the New Zealand government, in my humble opinion, correctly, as monsters, murderers and rapists historically. And it just feels like there's a huge reckoning going on by Māori forcing Pākehā to take stock of the damage that has been done to Māori over the last two centuries. So it's a really powerful thing that's going on. I've actually got some audio that I'd love to play, because I've just been looking at quotes and commentary from Māori media voices in response to this, what's happened. And we've got all these like really stoic women, Māori women, in prominent New Zealand media roles like Mihi Forbes and Jenny May on Breakfast. And I just wanted to play this clip because there's been like, finally they've allowed themselves a bit of emotionality in response to this, because it's just so big and overwhelming. So this is Jenny May Clarkson on Breakfast talking to Carmen Parahi, who was sort of the person who led the charge at Stuff to get this apology.
I note that you've also said that one of the reasons for doing this is so my kids don't have to carry the pain we as Māori have carried for so long because of the way we've been portrayed in the media over three centuries, and that day has a long time coming. And so I thank you for the work that you have done, but talk to us about what it was like to go to your colleagues and say, we need to do something about this, and what support you received.
So one Saturday in June, I actually had enough. I was about to walk away from journalism, but I decided that actually I'm gonna fight for this. Because I'd had enough about the way Māori were being portrayed and put down. And I knew you would set me off, Jenny May. I knew you would.
This is big stuff, though.
So, yeah, I just wanted to play that to reflect the sort of gravity of how this is being received out in the media world. But yeah,
it is big stuff.
It's big stuff. It's powerful stuff. It's awful stuff. But it is a positive thing that we're starting the journey to redress these sorts of issues now. So two real quick little things before I toddle off. In addition to that, there's an AUT-led study that comes out every year called Journalism, Media and Democracy, or JMAD, which has just released its 10th annual report, just giving basically a wrap-up of where the state of media is at. They have said that New Zealand media is transnational, highly financialised and vulnerable to volatilities in advertising revenue, which I think is true of all media organisations in the world at the moment. But they did note that in 2020 we have more independent media outlets than at any time since 2010.
Whoa.
So that's, I think, kind of cool.
Yeah.
They have noted that without the government subsidy, New Zealand media would be in huge trouble, and have bookmarked the big events from this year as a reminder of MediaWorks selling their television business, Three, to Discovery, Bauer pulling out of New Zealand, and Stuff becoming independently owned by the aforementioned CEO, Sinead Bocha, for a dollar. And the final thing I wanted to mention before I go, which is one to keep your eye on, is there is some laws being introduced in Australian Parliament today which would force Google and Facebook as advertisers to negotiate with news gatherers and makers in Aussie to pay for news. I don't know the legislative process inside and out for Australia, so there'll be some back and forward, but it's quite amazing that it's gotten to this point.
Yeah.
And
is that kind of like, is that a world first, maybe?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, okay. It totally is. This is, yeah, it's quite incredible. It's just, I think it might be led because Rupert Murdoch has such a huge voice in Australian media, like he owns basically all of it. So he was the only big, evil, moneyed up person who was armed enough to go to battle with these two conglomerates. So it's a battle of the billionaires.
I was going to say, this is a weird one where you can't really pick a side to fight for.
Exactly.
So I don't know about this.
I don't think I'll ever say this again, but I'm kind of backing Murdoch. But I'm backing the media is what's actually happening. So yeah, the Treasurer and the Communications Minister have like backed this plan, and it's going to force them to negotiate with the news organisations to pay for news, and if those talks break down, there'll be forced independent arbitration. It's super interesting. New Zealand is trying to take the Australian laws when they work.
Interesting.
They've said this out loud. Okay. So watch this space.
All right. Thank you very much, Tim. Always a pleasure. See you next week.
Kia ora.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.